try to show it on tape. This.
Why? What makes you hear this? No, this is fantastic.
Anyway, so in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, we zoche to live in Eretz Yisrael, away from all the bombardment of the Gashmir.
It's coming here more.
No, but it's not.
See the dogs all over there.
Forget the dogs. Dogs is not Gashmir. That's stupidity. The people that have dogs, they're just mishuabad to the dogs. They don't need dogs for it. Take the dogs for a walk 2 times a day and everything. Hot smells. They need dogs. We had dogs in South Africa. We needed dogs to warn us when people are coming into our road. That's damage to you. That's not Gashmir. That's degrading yourself to the whole different level. You know? I'm saying I'm not getting involved in that. That's mutter. It's also not. That's dogs is stomach waste and money. Money. Anyway, so the bottom line is, in Eretz Yisrael, we can focus more on what life is all about, and I feel that when I go to Kutzar and I come back here. People are focused. They're living. People are living. Maybe not 100%. In Kutzar, they're living 10%. Over here, we're living 30-40%. But we're not. You know, Rabbi Kron spoke 2 nights ago. Rabbi Kron spoke here in the neighborhood.
Is that so weird?
For a split. You're not on the RBS list. You have to sign up to the RBS list. They didn't advertise it in the shul. I don't know why. But, just for this new yeshiva that's opening up, high school. And he told an amazing story. I'm going to say it over because it's exactly this Nakuda. He said that he was invited a couple of years ago to South Africa by the chief rabbi, Warren Goldstein. And Rabbi Goldstein told him it's going to be like a 4-day indaba, called the Sinai Indaba, Sinai Convention. And they're going to have like 6 top speakers of the world. Berowan was going to be there, and Rabbi Krohn, and a few other speakers. And they were each going to give sessions throughout the day, and Rabbi Krohn was very excited about this. And the idea was to launch at that Indaba the Shabbos project. Okay? You've all heard about the Shabbos project now. But where they try on one Shabbos, everybody tries to each other. That started by the chief rabbi of South Africa, Warren Goldstein. A lot of schus in Hashem. I mean, if you saw pictures of that Shabbos in South Africa, they closed off streets and they had a massive challah baking, kneading, and challah taking. I mean, the Kiddush Hashem that came out of there. Surprised Moshiach didn't walk in at that moment. I mean, you have no idea. But we're not Zoichers. But, so he said he spoke, and on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, they were going to have like a symposium by a panel. They were going to have a panel, and the idea was that Rabbi Krohn would be interviewing Warren Goldstein and Beryl White, and asking them questions, and Rabbi Beryl White was going to answer them. And they're very close, Rabbi Krohn and Berowan. They've spoken together many times and said everything went wrong. Now in South Africa, the way it works at these symposiums is 10 minutes before the end of your time, this guy on the left side puts up a sign that says 10 minutes to go. And then 5 minutes before the end, the guy on the right puts up a sign, 5 minutes to go. So 5 minutes before the end, Rabbi Krohn had planned this question for Rabbi Berowan. He said to him, Rabbi Wine, hey, you're not a youngster. He said, but since I know you for many years, hey, you just don't stop. You just keep going. He said, in fact, when I was in Miami, I came to your shul there and I spoke there in your shul. There were 900 people there and everything like that. He said, you were the only person in the whole shul who wasn't tanned because you don't give yourself any time. The whole shul, Miami, right? He says, what is your secret? What drives you to keep on doing more projects and more books and more videos and more like documentaries on Russia and on Rambam and on, what is it? So he said, Rabbi Berowan doesn't get fazed about many things, but he said his expression got very serious. I'm going to say this over, even though it's not relevant to this, but it's an amazing, amazing thing for all of us. It's nogat to what we said before. He says, got all serious. He says, I have to tell you a story. said 40 years ago. This was must have been part of no more than 40 years ago. He says Rabbi Breuer once said in 1946 maybe. I was a young boy. I was like 12 years old. He says my father says to me one day, "Come, we're going to the airport." What's at the airport? He said, "Big rabbi is coming to speak to us, and we're going to go greet him at the airport." Who's a big rabbi? Rav Herzog, the chief rabbi of Israel, is coming to Israel. He was a big man. He's coming to America, and we're going to go meet him at the airport. And they go to the airport, and lined up there, all the rabbonim, right, in the front row, and then behind them is all the talmidim, all the students are lined up there, and then tremendous kabbalah upon him for Rav Herzog. And Rav Herzog gets up to address the crowd. And he says, "Moirav Raboisa," this is heartbreaking. He says, "I've just come back from Rome. I just come back from visiting the Pope. I don't know what his name was, Yimach Shemoy, whatever he was." And he says, "I came to the Pope with a list of 10,000 children. 10,000 children. Our children that we handed over or were taken or how somehow during the Holocaust landed up in the hands of the monasteries. And I pleaded with the Pope. I said, these are our children. Give me back our children. We suffered enough. The least you can do is give us back the children." There's some children were handed over voluntarily, others landed up there through organizations that they should. 10,000 children, give me back our children. The Pope says, "I'm very sorry, Rabbi, but the rule in the church is once a child has been baptized, he says, we cannot give him back to any religion. That's our rule. And we cannot break the rule. Especially me as the Pope, I cannot break this rule. And although I would like to help you and I feel your pain." I don't know if he said that. Maybe he didn't say that. But I cannot help you. And he says, Rabbi Herzog put his head down and he was sobbing like a young child for 5 minutes. He couldn't get control of his emotion. Can you imagine? You go to the Pope for and you're pleading, "This is Mamashat Solas Nefoshes, 10,000, not 5, 10, 10,000. And he came back empty-handed, Mamash. He was Sebrochen, and he said, he got up and he says, "Youngsters, you children at the back, I want you to listen. He says, those children we're not going to get back. He says, but you, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to dedicate yourself to make sure that we do not lose any more children. And don't forget what I'm saying. We cannot afford to lose any more children. And you have to do whatever you can to make sure that we hold on to our children." And then they had a procession. All the young boys came by and they shook hands with Rav Herzog. And he said, "That's Lok HaBrok HaTzot." He said, "When it came to me, Rabbi Breuer once said," he says, "I don't know why. I don't know why. He said, he stopped. And he looked me in the eye and he held my hand and he says, "Are you going to remember what I told you today?" He said to me, "You cannot ever forget what I told you today. We cannot lose any more children." Rabbi Breuer once said to Rabbi Kroll, he said, "You want to know why I cannot rest?" He said, "I'm haunted by those words, Ada Yom Hazeh, until my last day on this earth. I'm going to be haunted by these words. We cannot lose any more children." Story, eh? That's a good story. Okay. That's also good. Okay, so we're on page Kuf Mem Dalet in your book.
It's okay.
The last paragraph started with Hasuga Shlishi. Now we're up to the Hakochom. You want a book? It's not here. Kuf Mem Dalet. Kuf Mem Dalet. Towards the bottom, we're in the Leiv Toy. Kuf Mem Dalet. Perek Shlishi. Let me see if I can find it for you.
Don't steal that talent. Hasuga
Shishi.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be different. These are the drummers. These are the drummers. I'm not familiar enough with the text, I'm sorry. So, Chochma maybe. Yesterday we said the three different types of a kinasa like this. Chochma maybe. Eino roye bechol hanivroim halalu Devorim Gashmim Shinivru Shidei Leshamesh Shetzorchei Gufo. The wise person does not view the world as one big pleasure house that was created to serve him and to serve his bodily Elo. He chooses for himself, he picks for himself from the world as Yediyas Haruchnias for Haadinus Sheboy. He manages to pluck out of the world things that can help him grow in Ruchnias. Right? Yediyas Haruchnias for Haadinus Sheboy, the Adinus Sheboy within the creation. Right? So the beautiful, amazing wonders in the creation. He uses this knowledge, right? What he sees in the creation, like a ladder to bring himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to be able to bring proofs, right, about the Metzius, about the existence. Va'achtus and achtus, the oneness, the
unity.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any English word that can properly depict achtus. It doesn't mean we're not talking about unity. Unity when we speak about it, this group, we're a very unified group. Okay, it's exactly the opposite. Yeah, the minute you say group, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no achtus means that there's nothing else. We say in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, one of the pshatim Hashem Echad, Rav Tzedek said, one of the things you're supposed to think about is Einoid Mevadoi. Einoid Mevadoi doesn't mean that there's no other God but Him. There's nothing else but Him. There is nothing else in the world but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the world is a figment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's imagination. Look here, I'm pinching myself. I exist. I feel, I can hear, what do you mean, I don't exist? But the MSC, we don't really exist. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can think of a creation and he can make the people in his thought process feel real and the world and everything, but really it's not, there's nothing there. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Dessler writes in Michtav Melio, How can we like contemplate the Olam Habo? This world is a real world, right? It's tangible. We feel it. We see it. We feel it. Olam Habo seems like some spiritual something. How can we relate to it? So he said that's what a dream is for. What is a dream? A person's dreaming, right? He's sleeping, fast asleep, and he's in a dream. That dream is as real as anything else. When you're in that dream, people are real, you hear things, you could talk, you could see things, you're running away sometimes, you weird dreams, right? Interesting dreams. A dream is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of teaching us that there can be a reality that's not a reality. And this world is that. This world is a dream. This world's not the real world. That's the real world. We think this is the real world. But just like in a dream, right, you wake up and you say, oh, sometimes you say, oh, come on, it would have been nice. Or the other way around, you say, Baruch Hashem. That's a scary, whatever it is in the dream. So too, we're gonna wake up one day. We're gonna realize this is a dream. This is, we're gonna wake up to the reality. The reality is up there, it's not down here. So this world is after Scorpus. I don't want to talk about this stuff. I don't know enough about it to say, but I'm saying Achtus doesn't mean, it doesn't mean unity. That's a wrong thing. Unity means, it means oneness in its purest form without anything else. One and nothing else, but that's Achtus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It takes a lifetime to see that in the Bria, that there's, everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing else. Like Rav Asher was saying the other day, if you study trees, right, you see that no branch ever grows in line with the directly beneath another branch. Why not? We can talk about it, but it's so mind-boggling because every tree and blade of grass and vine and apple tree and orange tree and wheat and corn and all these things are growing as we talk every single second, every single minute, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the growth of every single thing. Evolution is trying to say something happened that's nature into motion, and it just repeats itself. I mean, we know from stories from the years of Shemitah, right, where some of the farmers, like, they mamash saw ba'enayim, nisim beluim mamash. There was a pilpel farmer, a pepper farmer. He used to do big exports of pepper. He decided one time he's going to keep Shemitah that coming Shemitah. I think he decided in the fifth year. The next year, he said he had such an overgrowth. I don't know what the right word is. Like he said he grew so many peppers that he made enough money to keep them going for the next year. Now, you don't have, not everyone has that. There's plenty of stories where their mamash is Mesiras Nefesh, okay? But who can ignore that? Who can ignore that and say, that's just a fluke, it just happens. Nobody can ignore that. So, in case you're wondering, I'm looking at my phone during your shiur. I have my sister-in-law's phone here. She just came back from America yesterday, and two of her suitcases didn't make it. But she didn't know that the phone, her kids had left the phone by me on Shabbos. So she gave him this number. So that's if somebody calls, you have to answer. So, coming back to this, right?
Should we buy that one airline? What airline?
Somewhere in Europe.
Be sure not to fly with them.
Happens often. You know how many millions of people are flying never happened? All Muslims. So again, so Mishtamesh Biyadiyah Zukumois Besulam. The wise person studies the Bria and he uses what he sees like a ladder, right, to bring himself today Lahavi Mimeno Hoy Chochois Al Metzius Ve'achtus Boire Hakol Yisbora Ve'Lalois Al Yodo Malo Malo. And he uses this knowledge to go closer and to climb step by step in his hasoga, in his grasp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Roimimus. In fact, there's two kinds of hero, right? You say, okay, la Godol, ha Gibor, va Noiro. What's the difference between Gibor and Noiro? Say in Israel, right? Okay, like Godol. Godol refers to Chesed. What it means is Chesed, unlimited amounts of chesed. Gibor is Midas Adin, right? Giras Oynesh, Midas Adin, Gibor, frightful thunder, right? Shekoicho Gvurosoi Mole Oilam, we've done that. And then you have Noiro. What's Noiro? What is Noiro? Noiro is Giras Haroimimus. When a person realizes the vastness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you study a bit of astronomy, not astrology, astronomy. There's a big difference. Astronomy is like learning about the positions of all the galaxies and how there's no end to it, right? Noiro, it's Poshut Noiro, it's not Shaya. In Eisha Torah once, when I was working for Eish once, and they brought a bunch of teachers from America to give like a refresher course in what they're teaching nowadays. And they showed this slideshow of these different, I don't know what they were, planets or suns or whatever they were. And they started with a sun, and then they showed like there were like five or six other things that made the sun look like a little dot. I mean the sun, we burn up when we you know, you don't want to mess with it. They say if the sun was one fraction or further away from us, we would either burn to death or freeze to death. Everything's, and here you have suns that are, so it's Noiro, it's Poshu. That's Roimimus, right? When he says here, Velalo Tzador Malo Malo Basoga Saboyre Yisborach V'Roimimusoy, and his vastness, his unending, unlimited, Poshu, not Shayach, right? Ulidovek Ba'avodosoy, the Chochem uses this knowledge, Lidovek Ba'avodosoy. According to us, of our great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that's how he uses this knowledge to improve his avodat Hashem, to get closer to Hashem, to work more, because the more we realize how insignificant we are, how small we are, doesn't mean we don't have koicha, so we don't have to use all our koicha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we realize what we are in the bigger picture. That has to drive us to serve Hashem with more bread, right? Kafisha maybe is Toivas Hashem Khasodov in Kol Masov. And he grasps the Chesed and the Toivah of Hashem with all his creation, right? In Kol Masov, right? It says, when we say the Tefillah for Pranosa, right? We say Hashem is Mefarnes Mikarne Re'emim, from the horns of rams, which is a tall, very high thing. At Beit Sikinim, to the eggs of lice. Have you ever seen the sides of a nut of a lice? Tiny, right? You can't see it really.
We don't have that.
Yeah, Hashem. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu provides everyone with food. I mean, the stories you read about how this one animal, this one mountain goat, I don't know exactly which one, has a hard time giving birth. And it goes up to the edge of a cliff, and a snake comes at the moment that it needs to give birth, and because otherwise it wouldn't be able to. That's just Big Bang theories. I mean, it happens by every single one of them. Why doesn't the elephant go to the edge of a cliff to give birth? I mean, because that's the Bria. Kadosh Baruch Hu, every single thing needs its own cheshbon, right? I'm sorry, we're going. We're waiting for a shear here. Yeah? I just want to finish the paragraph. He also recognizes the incredible toy voice that Hashem gave him, right? All the koichos, right? All his amazing abilities. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made human beings are the highest being, the highest creation of all things created. We are everything is kofuf to us, right? I don't want to get into this now, but you know what I'm talking about. Mibli she also koydem etzem ma'asei toivo, tzikil atzmo etzem midot toivo. We got this, right? We were created as a human being, which is more elevated than any creature on this earth, without us having done anything to deserve it. What did we do? Nothing. We were born, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he made you, right? Without us, that alone, we owe him everything. We owe him our life, right? Avuram magi aloi sochar toy me'elokim. We didn't do anything that we deserve sochar toy. What did we do? Nothing. He gives it to us matnas chinam atochaynin adam das, and all the parnotsa, everything he gives us the whole time, right? Shari chazeh Hashem im odom matchilim miyadim yitzirosoi. Hashem, where the human being begins at the moment of birth, the minute even before he's born, but in the minute he's born, right, the whole thing happens as the plug comes on and he starts working and the blood starts pumping through his system and it doesn't stop. Hashem, till 120, it shouldn't stop, right? We should be able to function from just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, it says that in which is a Rishon on the Gemara in Bava Kama, where it says that Shedro Shel Odom, the spine of a person, La'achas Sheva Shonim Na'aseh Nochosh, becomes a snake. The Gemara, I'm not to explain the Gemara, but that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says there, V'hu, that's if Sheloi Kora B'moidim, if he didn't bow down properly in Moidim, and bow it. So the Torah's Chaim, you know what, let's talk about this tomorrow. Remind me, I'll say over the Torah's Chaim tomorrow. It's an incredible piece. Incredible piece of what we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what we should be doing our whole life, but we have to function. We can't spend our whole day praising Hashem, and that's what he talks about. I'll say it over tomorrow, Blinayim.